Near the end of the New Testament, just before the revelation of Jesus Christ given unto John, we have a very small epistle, very small letter written by Jude, whose message in his epistle very much acts, as it were, as an epilogue to the New Testament, to the gospel made known in the New Testament. A warning sound against those who would turn the people of God away from the truth. An exhortation to stand fast in the gospel. Jude opens, "Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." He writes to exhort the people of God, those whom God has set apart, sanctified, those whom God has preserved in Jesus Christ and called unto salvation, that chosen people of God, whom God has delivered his gospel unto, delivered the faith unto, that people of God are exhorted here by Jude to contend, earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Because that faith, that gospel, that truth, in that day and today and throughout all the ages will be and was attacked. It was attacked in Jude's day. It has been attacked ever since, and it will be attacked today and is being attacked from every side. As he reminds the hearers towards the end of this epistle, "Beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you that there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. They be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit." Those who scoff, those who ridicule, those who reject, those who despise the truth, and those who, as he repeatedly warns, have throughout history fallen under the judgment of God. He mentions those who, having been saved out of the land of Egypt, were afterwards destroyed because they believed not and rejected Moses and the message that Moses brought, the truth of God, God himself. He mentions the angels which left their first estate and were thrown into darkness. He mentions the people of Sodom and Gomorrah who knew the fires of God's wrath. He mentions the devil disputing with Michael the archangel. And in verse 10, he mentions those who speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally, as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. And isn't that true of our day? And isn't that true of you and I by nature? We speak evil of those things which we know not. Because we cannot see God. Because we cannot see eternal glory. Because all we can see are the things around us that we can experience naturally. We scoff and we ridicule the truth of the gospel. Our natural hearts reject what truly in our conscience we know is true. We act like there is no God. We act like there is no life after death. We act like there is no judgment to come. We act like there is no consequence of our deeds and our actions. We act like there is no such thing as sin and judgment against sin. Because we know these things not. Because we cannot see. Because we've never heard God's voice. Because we've never experienced the reality of his saving grace. And what we don't know, we scoff and mock at. And what we know naturally as brute beasts, because that's all we are, base and carnal, we indulge in and corrupt ourselves in. And that's all you see in the world all around you. What you're like by nature is what everyone else is like. They exalt the natural. They exalt the flesh. They exalt what is seen and experienced in this world. Everyone lives for the flesh. Everyone lives for riches. Everyone lives for what they can gain in this world and what they can experience in this world. Everyone lives for the power and the glory that they can attain to in this world. For the praise and adoration of others as brute beasts. People live for food and wine and the natural pleasures, which come and go, and soon they pass from being a babe in arms to a young adult, to an old man or woman, to dust in the grave. And where is the food and the drink then? It's gone. But they're not gone, because they, with an immortal soul like you, must stand before a holy God when their bodies laid in the grave and they pass into eternity and discover that those things which they spake evil of are very, very real. Woe unto them, Jude says. They've gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. They are spots in your feast of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth without fruit, twice dead plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Whoever they are, wherever they be, whoever you are, wherever you be, religious or irreligious, gaining a name for yourself in the politics, the entertainment, the business of this world, or gaining a name for yourself in the politics and the entertainment and business of the religious world. Wherever you gain your name, your acclaim, your riches, your glory, if it's in the natural realm, whilst you in your heart deny God and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, you will find it comes to nothing. And all your striving in this world was a striving which heaped coals of judgment upon your head. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Because that faith which was once delivered unto the saints is your only hope. Because you need what Jude here speaks of as the common salvation. That salvation common to all God's people. The same way that God saved the saints of old in the Old Testament is the same way he saved the saints in the New Testament, is the same way he saved sinners today. And you need to be saved if you are to be spared the judgment of Sodom and Gomorrah. If you are to be spared the destruction of those Israelites which turned against God after being delivered from Egypt. If you're to be spared the wrath and anger of God against your sin because of your mocking heart, because of your scorning of Jesus Christ and his gospel, because of your rejection of his death and resurrection, because of your rejection of his authority over you as your King and Lord, as the one that rules this world. If you're to be spared his wrath and rightful wrath, just wrath for your rejection, for your hatred, for your sin, then you need his salvation. You need his mercy. You need his love. You need his peace. And Jude writes to a people whom he calls saints, who knew that love, who knew that peace, who knew that mercy, who knew that salvation. And he says, earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. They knew salvation. Do you know salvation? Do you know Christ? For if you're to be saved, it's through Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. If we're to be saved, we must have Christ. We must be one with Christ. We must be in Christ, and Christ must be in us. We must be one with him. We must have a Saviour, and not only a Saviour which we know of, who as it were is in heaven, far off. Not only a Saviour whose name we have read of on the pages of the Scriptures, but a Saviour who's ours. A Saviour with whom we are one. A Saviour with whom we are united. A Saviour in whom we dwell, and a Saviour who dwells within us, as united as a man is to his wife, closer, one who we're one with. We must have Christ. These people were sanctified, separated, set apart by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ. They were one with him. They were called unto him, and they were made to be one with him by God's grace, by God's divine operation. When he sent the gospel to them, when he delivered unto them the faith, the gospel, they were born again of the Spirit of God. God took these dead sinners, and by a divine supernatural operation, brought them to life by his Spirit. Ye must be born again. And if you're born again, the life which you now have is Christ within. As Paul speaks of in experience in his epistle to the Galatians, as we've referred to so often, I am crucified with Christ. I'm dead. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. These people, like Paul, were in Jesus Christ because Christ had been made theirs. They'd been crucified like Paul had been crucified, yet now they live because a life had entered them. And that life which entered them was Christ. Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Christ had entered their hearts. He'd taken residence in their hearts. He'd been delivered unto them as the faith had been delivered unto them. He whom the faith makes known, he, the man of faith, dwelt in their hearts, that they should look unto him by faith and be one with him by faith. Yes, they were one with Christ. They were in Christ. They knew his calling. They knew his mercy, his peace and his love because they'd been brought to him. They were one with him. They were united to him. And if you're to be saved, you must have Christ. But how is Christ conveyed? And how are we made to be one with him? One way, and one way only, by the gospel, by the preaching of the gospel, by the deliverance of a message from God to your soul by his Spirit, through which he makes Christ known, by which he quickens his people unto life by the Spirit of God, that Christ may dwell within them. Christ is conveyed and made to be ours by the gospel and exclusively by the gospel. Not that just hearing the words of the gospel alone can do this, for they don't. For many hear the words, many will sit under a preacher and hear him speak of Jesus that are never made to be one with Christ. But we must hear that message if we're to know Christ. And God's means of bringing his people to life is to convey his Son through the word preached unto their souls. To convey the word of God, Jesus Christ, by the preaching of the word of God, that they may have the word within. As Peter said, when Christ asked him, "Will ye also go away?" he cried out, "Lord, to whom else shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." We need salvation, we need life, we need eternal life. And that life can only come when you speak unto us, when you convey the words of eternal life. We must hear your gospel, Lord. For by that gospel, by that word, by that faith, we will know what it is to be made one with Christ. You see, you cannot separate Christ from the gospel. It is the gospel of God concerning his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel of Christ. The gospel of your salvation. The gospel and Christ are inextricably linked. Christ is not known but by the gospel. And it is no gospel which does not make Christ known. People can speak of preaching the gospel. They can call any message a gospel. But if the result and the consequence of hearing their preaching and their message is not to know Christ, is that Christ is never truly conveyed to any of the hearers, then it's no gospel. They can make their claims of accepting him, of receiving him. But if the power of his life is not truly within, if he's not truly conveyed by the Spirit of God through the truth declared concerning him, then it's no gospel. You cannot separate Christ from the gospel. Indeed, Christ, as we've said, is known as the Word. John's Gospel presents Christ as the Word of God. It's so distinct in how it opens. When John opens his Gospel, he speaks and says, "In the beginning was the Word, And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. But Christ himself is called the Word. Why? Because he is God's speech. When God speaks in the darkness of this world, when God speaks unto men, he speaks through his Son. He speaks by his Son. As God speaks, he is conveying Christ. He's speaking through Christ. Christ is the living Word, of whom the written Word in the Scriptures testifies. You cannot separate Christ, the Word, from the Gospel, from the Word of God, from the preaching of the Word of God. That Gospel written down, those words printed down in the Scriptures, are not themselves Christ, but they are the expression of Christ. And when God the Spirit takes those words and speaks them, he conveys Christ. You can take the bare letter of the Scriptures and you're reading the record of the Word and you can know nothing of Christ. But when God takes those words and when God speaks those words, he's speaking Christ. He's making known Christ through his Gospel, through the Word of God, through the Word of truth, through the Word of this Gospel, through the Word of Christ. Christ is God's message, God's speech, God's declaration unto lost sinners, God's word to a fallen world. And you will not know Christ, and you will not know his salvation, except you hear his Gospel, his Word. And the Gospel of Christ, the Word of our salvation, is also known, as Jude refers to it, as the faith. Earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. The faith. The faith. You see, Christ himself, the Word of God, is conveyed by the preaching of the Gospel, the preaching of the faith. The one whom faith looks unto is made known by a message called the faith, objectively. Subjectively, faith receives the faith objectively. The man of faith, the just man, Jesus Christ, the one who lived by faith, the faith is conveyed by the preaching of the faith, and he is received by faith. Which is why Paul can speak of the righteousness of God being made known from faith to faith. Christ is made known from faith to faith. The one who lived by faith, the author and finisher of faith, the one who, when he dwells in the heart of the believer, is their faith, is conveyed by the preaching of the faith. Earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Because that message, that faith, when it's preached in clarity and truth, undefiled by error, as it was once delivered to the saints in the beginning, as the apostles, as Christ himself made it known, the truth, undiminished, unaltered, conveys Christ, the faith, unto those who are brought to faith, to believe. But you alter that message, and you're attacking Christ himself. You add to that message and you're adding to Christ. You take away from that message and you're taking away from Christ. You be careful and cautious about what parts of that message you preach to sinners, and you're being careful and cautious about what you make known of Christ unto sinners. But we earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. We preach Christ as God made him known, and as God continues to make him known, as the eternal God and Saviour, as one with Father and Spirit, as the one who is from everlasting unto everlasting, as Almighty God, as God who took human flesh into union with his divinity, as the Son of God, as the one in whom all the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily, as the one who for his eternal love of his own entered this world, entered this darkness, as the Word of God, the light of God, that he should enter into this dark and evil world in order to save his people from their sins. We preach a Christ who came for a particular people, a people whose names were upon his heart, a people who were called and chosen by God his Father and given unto him, that he should go into the world and suffer and to die in their place. And suffer and die in their place, that he should take their sins upon himself, and that he should take those sins away forevermore. We preach a Christ who came to save sinners, and he saved every sinner for whom he came. We preach a Christ who is sovereign and powerful and almighty. We preach a Christ who is satisfied in all he attempts to do. When he laid down his life for his people, he saved every one of them. And having saved them and justified them and blotted out their sins, he rose again the third day, victorious. And he ascended into glory, victorious. And he is reigning from on high over this evil world, that he should send forth his light of his gospel into the world to bring to the knowledge of all those whom he saved their salvation. He's calling by the Spirit every one for whom he suffered. And this world ticks along to it till its last day, purely because God in Christ is working out his purpose of building his church, of preaching his gospel, of gathering in all those for whom he died. And when the last one hears, and when the last one is brought to saving faith in Christ, then his work will be complete. Then this world will be burnt up. The heavens will be rolled up like a scroll. Then he will stand in judgment over all men, women and children throughout all time. Then the sheep will be divided from the goats. Then the murmurers, the complainers, those that walk after their own lust, those that have mouths that speak great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advances, then they who mocked and scorned will know that Christ himself is indeed the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And all the wicked who have remained in their wickedness and rejected the Son of God to the end will be departed and sent forth into outer darkness. And all those persecuted, rejected saints of God despised and laughed and mocked at throughout all time, put to death even by those who hated them, all those who stood and earnestly contended for the faith which was once delivered unto them, they will know his grace, his peace, his mercy, his love. And they will hear, "Oh, well done, my good and faithful servant." And they will be led into eternal glory and bliss forevermore. Oh, don't be a fool seeking all you can get in your few years upon the face of this earth and then lose everything forevermore. But be willing, like Moses of old, to suffer adversity, to suffer persecution, to suffer rejection with the people of God for a moment, because there is a greater weight of glory which lies ahead. Read in Hebrews 11 of Moses. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. These others speak evil of those things which they know not, as brute beasts. But Moses, that man of faith, endured as seeing him who is invisible. For he had received that faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Yes, how interesting that the gospel itself, the message of Christ, the message itself which requires faith to be believed and received, that message which makes known the faith of Jesus Christ, by which faith is conveyed and received, to lay hold on the man of faith, how interesting that it itself is called the faith. The faith. There's such a union between the messenger, the message he declares, and the recipient here, that every part refers to faith. This is God's speech, his conversation with his people. He speaks, his words are conveyed. They hear, they believe. And they're united by faith. The one who speaks and the one whom the speech concerns, Jesus Christ, is all conveyed by that gospel called the faith. It's all one. There's such a union. This is why elsewhere Christ speaks of knowing him and being one with him, as it were partaking of him as you partake of a feast. He speaks of himself as the bread of life and the water of life. He exhorts his people to eat of his flesh and to drink of his blood. They're so united and one with him that it is as though they have eaten of him, that he's within them. His life is within them. In many ways, this is why God has ordered this world such. This is why he has caused us to have animals which are slain that we eat. For when we eat the beef of a cow, we take the sustenance and the life which is in that flesh, and it becomes part of our flesh. And so on and so forth. And thus it is with Christ in the gospel. We, as it were, spiritually eat of his body and drink of his blood, and he's one with us. Not physically, not actually, not in some superstitious ceremonies. Not in some superstitious ceremony as the Catholics have of eating the wafer and drinking the wine and actually believing that that wafer and the wine are Christ as though Christ is conveyed by the emblems. But Christ is conveyed spiritually by his gospel, by the faith. Which is why he says, take, eat, this is my body broken for you. Take the cup, drink ye all of it, this is the cup of the New Testament. This is my blood shed for many. In eating the bread and drinking the wine, we remember him in his death. And as we remember and consider and look, we look by faith unto him. We hear through these things the gospel. We hear the faith, and faith lays hold of it. There's a union with Christ, a spiritual union, in which the message which conveys him cannot be separated from the one who is conveyed. It's the faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, by Christ. You cannot know Christ but by the gospel, by faith, through faith, in the author and finisher of faith. Note what Jude says, earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. This message was once delivered. And it is once delivered. It was delivered. In Jude's day, it was delivered. Once completed in the writings of the apostles. Christ preached, and he preached by those whom he sent forth, and they recorded this message once and for all. It's not to be added to, not to be taken away from, not to be altered. It doesn't change with time. It doesn't change with culture. It doesn't change with the fashions of this world. And the message which is delivered today when this gospel is preached is the same message, the same faith, the same gospel which was delivered once then. It's delivered, preached, declared once, not to be altered. It is the same today as it was then, because Jesus himself, as we read in Hebrews 13:8, is the same yesterday and today and forever. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. He changes not, then neither does his message, nor his means of delivering it. We hear and we receive the same gospel, the same faith today, as Paul preached 2,000 years ago. And as Adam believed at the beginning, and which Abraham confessed thousands of years ago, the message changes not, nor does God's means of delivering it. It's by preaching. It does not change with time. It does not change with the seasons. It does not change with fashion. It does not change with culture. It does not change with the country. It does not change with class. It does not change with color. It does not change with race. It's the same message throughout time, throughout the ages, throughout the world, to the four corners of this world, to every tribe, kindred and colour. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today and forever. The faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Once. The faith. That message of Christ and his death, of substitutionary atonement, of the righteousness of God made known, of the shedding of the blood of Christ for many, that message of the electing grace of God, that message of saving grace through faith, that message of sin, of salvation, that message of God, of man, of Christ. It never changes. It is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It is the faith once delivered unto the saints. Unto the saints. Preached in all the world, yes, but delivered unto the saints. To a particular people, chosen out, chosen before ever they were born, before ever they were amongst the others. A particular people, chosen by God unto salvation, unto the saints. It's preached. And the words go out to many, and many will hear. And the words will, as it were, flow past them. Many disciples followed Jesus, who were then offended in the end and went away. But as Peter said, we will not go away. To whom else shall we go? For thou hast the words of eternal life. Because the saints under whom the faith is delivered know that they need life. Has this faith been delivered unto you? Has God shown you your need of salvation? Has God shown you your need of eternal life? Have you heard in the gospel the words of eternal life? Has it been delivered unto you? Are you, or were you, a guilty rebel, lost in your sins, vile, unbelieving, corrupt, a sinner, a child of wrath even as others? But are you a sinner like others, under whom Christ has come with his gospel? One under whom the Lord God has delivered his faith, that you might hear, and that hearing you might believe. Paul, when he writes to the Corinthians, speaks to a people who are full of sin and reminds them that they, like all others, were full of sin. That though they may have heard the gospel, though they may have come to faith in Christ, they're no better than anyone else. He reminds them of what they are. He says unto them, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. And such were some of you. But ye are washed. But ye are sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Ye are washed. Ye are sanctified. Ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Just as Jude tells these people here. He writes to them that are sanctified by God. To them who are washed and justified and sanctified by God the Father. Preserved in Jesus Christ. Called. And he wishes them mercy, peace and love. And exhorts them to stand. And to earnestly contend for that faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Such were some of you. Are you like them? Can you say, such was I? I was one of them, but God delivered his faith unto me. For if you are, if you're one like them, you will know that unless God delivered his faith unto you, you'd never have been saved. It had to be delivered, and it had to be delivered unto the one that God chose. You never chose him. But he chose you. And because he chose you, because he said you're a saint, that's why the message came. It's grace and grace alone, and you know it. Then, brethren, earnestly contend for it. Contend for it. Stand fast in it. Stand fast in the grace of God. And be not blown about by every wind of doctrine. Be not dissuaded. Be not tempted. Go not with the fashions and the whims of this world in religion. Stand fast. And as Jude exhorts you, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Saviour, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen.